Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. As we head into yet another COVID lockdown, and by far our worst outbreak in the past 14 months, we are revisiting a debate that started 1 year ago and is continuing. There are a lot of Christians who are clamoring for the reopening of churches. They're okay with schools and other institutions being closed for COVID, but they insist that churches should remain open so that people could build up their faith, and that's one of the remedies for the coronavirus pandemic. People are saying things like, we need the churches open so that we could build back our faith. Fellowship is important, and they're considering this to be religious persecution and suppression of their rights to worship. And you could probably tell from the tone of my voice that I totally disagree with that. I believe that churches should be closed, and churches are probably one of the places where coronavirus is most likely to spread, because people are packed in a closed indoor environment singing. And we've seen in recent times a lot of pastors getting diagnosed with COVID, a lot of Christians getting diagnosed and dying of COVID. And it doesn't take a lot for you to realize that Christians are not immune from this pandemic. So what I want to do today is talk about whether churches are better off being closed or open. Some people are saying we need the churches open so we could build up our faith, so we could strengthen ourselves spiritually. Those people have obviously never read Romans chapter 10. Because Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It didn't say anything about churches, buildings, or the size of your congregation. Faith comes from the word of God. So if you want to build up your faith, open your Bible and read it. I remember when I was a young Christian, I used to hear people giving testimonies like this. I was feeling sick and I didn't want to go to church. But then I said, no, the devil is a liar. And I would go to church anyway. And do you know when I came to church, I got healed? Now, I don't know about anybody's personal experiences, and I can't deny anybody's personal experiences. But I'm sure there are a lot of people who were sick and did not get healed in church. For every one person who got healed, there are probably 100 others who did not. Everybody's experiences are different. I can't argue with anybody's personal experiences, but I could tell you what the scripture says. Every time Jesus healed somebody in the Bible, it wasn't in any particular building. A few of the healings were in the temple, but most of them were on the street. Most of them were in people's homes. There is simply no rule that says the church is a place of healing. That is a myth. And in fact, the church, as we all know, is not a building. The church is a people. The problem is, we have a branch of Christianity that esteems the church building a little too highly. The church is not a building. There's nothing sacred about the altar, the place that you call the altar. The church is you. The church is where the twos and threes are gathered. The church is in your heart. When Christians meet together to pray, that's the church. And we place way too much emphasis and value and esteem on the physical church building. Some people say, well, we need to have fellowship. Yes, and I agree. Fellowship is important. The Bible truly said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. Absolutely, we need fellowship. We need to assemble. But do you know there's a reason why Jesus said, where the twos and the threes are gathered in my name, there I am. As opposed to, where the 200s and the 300s or the 2000s and the 3000s are guarded in my name. He said where the 2s and the 3s are guarded. If 2 or 3 shall agree with touching anything, it will be done. God never placed a value on those big numbers, those big congregations, those mega churches. That was never something that God designed for the church, and I'll show you some scriptures in a while. The best church experiences are in small groups. That's why he said things like, where the 2s and the 3s are gathered in my name. And fellowship does not have to be in a big building. Fellowship could be over the phone, it could be on the computer, it could be on Zoom, it could be via the internet. The problem, as I mentioned a little while ago, is that a lot of Christians have placed too much of an emphasis on the physical church building. This is what their church experience is like. They go to church, they listen to a pastor preaching. Now, they're not hearing anything the guy is saying. They're not paying attention to the content of what he's saying. But what they're listening for is tone of voice. There may come a point in the sermon where the pastor starts to speak in a more passionate way. And then suddenly they start to shake up themselves and they feel goosebumps. And then they hear other people in the congregation responding by clapping, applauding, saying, "Yes, Lord," raising their hands. And that stirs them up even more. And that is the sum total of their church experience. Now, that has zero spiritual value, none. Yet, that is what many people call church. It is just an emotional feel-good place where they get a spiritual high on a Sunday and then they're back to normal on a Monday. That is not church, my friends. But yet that is the experience that many of us are accustomed to in these big congregations. There's no spiritual value whatsoever in that because there was no ministry to do from the Word of God. In the early church, the Bible said they break bread, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, they prayed. Our experience of church is a place where you could feel good and get a spiritual high. Now, the issue of big church versus small church is something that came up in the book of Acts. Before Jesus left, Jesus told his apostles, "You will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the utmost parts of the world." Now, if you find those locations on a map, they will form circles. Jerusalem will be the center. Judah is just outside of Jerusalem. Samaria is outside of Judea. And the utmost parts of the world is everywhere else. Up to 7 chapters in the book of Acts, the apostles were only focusing on Jerusalem and Judea. They had no interest in going anywhere else. Initially, there was a huge growth in the early church. In one case, 3,000 were added. Another case, 5,000 were added. And that doesn't even include women and children. The church was exploding at a high rate. And the church was centralized in Jerusalem. And if you had left it up to them, they would not have left Jerusalem and Judea because those were the Jews. And they had their prejudice that Christianity was for the Jews. Then God realized what was happening, and he said none of that. So God raised up a guy called Saul of Tarsus, not to preach the gospel, but to persecute the church. And in Acts chapter 8, his persecution of the church started. And the Bible says the Christians from Jerusalem had to be scattered. And many of them went, guess where? Samaria. They went to Samaria preaching the gospel, getting people saved there. And that's how God was able to accomplish the spread of the gospel from Judea to Samaria, by causing persecution against the church. When God was satisfied, he took the same Saul of Tarsus, interrupted him on the road to Damascus, saved him, and sent him to the utmost parts of the world, the Gentiles. And that's how God was able to force the hand of the church to doing his will. Because if he had left it totally up to them, they would have been stuck in Judea to this day. We see that God used persecution to get the church to line up with his will. Up to Acts chapter 7, the early church was a mega church. They consisted of one centralized location, just like Old Testament Judaism. There was one centralized church location. and everybody came there. But after the persecution, things changed. They realized that they could not have a centralized congregation anymore. Instead, they formed many smaller congregations in different parts of the world. And we see that whenever Paul wrote an epistle, he would start off his epistle by saying something like, to the saints in Rome, to the brethren scattered abroad. And in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 2, this is how Paul addressed his audience. He said, to the churches of Galatia. You know, normally we would think there was one big church in Galatia where all the Christians went, but that's not how it was at all. There were many smaller churches that usually gathered in people's houses. There was no big building or sanctuary. It was just a house gathering with a handful of people scattered here, there, and throughout the city. And Paul would write and say, to the churches of Galatia, to the saints in Rome. It wasn't a mega church. It was many smaller churches. And that is what God was trying to accomplish. You would find that there is great spiritual value in having smaller congregations or having smaller groups. And now there are certain people who don't want that, obviously for financial reasons. But there is a high degree of spiritual value. In those smaller groups, you have more interaction. You have more participation. People who would normally just spectate in a big church will get to pray, will get to study the Bible, will get to make contributions, will get to develop their spiritual gifts. That is how God designed it. And the mega church, as popular as it is, as spectacular as it is when you see it on TV, with these huge sanctuaries with beautiful decorations and chandeliers, they look impressive. But 99% of the congregation are just spectators, and God never called us to spectate. Worship is not a spectator sport. It is not fantasy worship. Worship is a participation event. And that is what the small group experience allows. It allows Christians, two or three, or a small group, five, maybe 10, to meet, and they all have something to say. They all get to develop. Like somebody who is weaker in defeat, instead of getting lost in a big congregation and ending up with nothing more than a feel-good church experience, they get to develop their faith, to strengthen their walk with God. And that is something we should pay attention to. Now that we can congregate in big churches, we could still meet together, we could still pray, we could still develop. God could still turn this around for our good, if we are open-minded and we allow Him to do it. In the early church, God used persecution to mash up the bigger church, the big church, the big mega church, and then form smaller congregations. And who knows if God is doing the same thing now. And I pray that Christians will not fight silly battles that not only they can't win, they have no interest in winning. There's no interest, there's nothing to be gained from opening back church buildings and the big gatherings. That is more likely to spread the coronavirus and get more Christians killed unnecessarily. We have to know what is real persecution and what is not. There are places in the world where Christians are getting killed simply because they are Christian. They are being martyred. We have a situation where we are told to not gather for our own good, and we are considering that persecution. We need to grow up and stop being so cultic in our beliefs and in our ways. Spirituality, there's no part of our spirituality that is tied to the church building or the size of our congregation. Let us use this opportunity to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, to strengthen our feet, to let iron sharpen iron. And at the end of this, I pray that we will be stronger, we will be safer, and the devil will regret the day he ever messed with us. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induwa Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.